Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
We're in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, where Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We're exploring this idea of what it means to store up treasure on earth. But treasure is more than just money. One treasure that ties our hearts to the earth rather than heaven is the treasure of approval and respect from the people we consider important. Does favor in the eyes of man have a grip on your heart?
One of the most common misuses of scripture is when you take a general principle that's targeted at the heart and you reduce it down to a mere regulation that just governs external behavior only. Now, I say reduce. People who do that don't think they're reducing anything. They think they're elevating it. They think strict rules of behavior is what's really a high standard. That's what the Pharisees did. That's really a form of legalism. The Pharisees turned everything into rules and regulations and policies governing external behavior, but ignored the heart. And everyone thought they were the most righteous people on the planet because they had followed such strict religious rules, and they did all this religious stuff, and they were so strict about it, but their hearts would make a black mark on a piece of coal. They were evil, wicked people on the inside. They didn't govern, none of their principles affected their inside. It was all actions. And we don't want to do that here. We don't want to externalize this. So let's think carefully about what attitude is Jesus teaching us here that we need to have. Well, one very helpful key to understanding any communicator, anyone who's writing, any author, including the Bible, is to always be on the lookout for the "not that, but this" statements. When an author says, "Look, here's what I mean. I mean this, I don't mean this." When they do that, when they give you the positive and the negative, it tells you exactly what he's affirming and what he's denying. And when you get both what he's affirming and what he's denying, it gives you a clear picture of what he's actually saying. People who want to be vague will never do that. You know, politicians and theologians are both notorious for giving vague statements about what they affirm without specifying what they deny. And so you never really know what they mean. You know, if a politician says, "I'm for prosperity," you know, everybody claps and it seems, you know, it's really great, but you don't really know what he means by that. But if he says, "I'm for prosperity, not capitalism," you know, then you get an idea where that guy's coming from, right? In this passage, Jesus is very clear. He gives us the "not this, not that, but this." He gives us the negative and the positive so we can understand exactly what he's getting at. So that's what I want to, that's how I want to structure the sermon. We'll start with the negative. We'll start with the "not that" part, and then we'll get to the "but this" part. The "not that" is, here's what it looks like to disobey this principle. What does it look like in practical terms for a person to disobey this principle in their heart? What does it look like to store up for yourselves treasures on earth rather than in heaven? We get a clue to what that looks like from verse 21. I'm going to have to use a little bit of logic here. Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Remember, that's reason number two for why to obey this. Because your heart will go after your treasure. The word "heart," it refers to the inner man. It's the seat of your thoughts, will, and emotions. It's where your decision-making takes place. It's where your inclinations are, your interest. What are you interested in your life? That's where your heart is. What do you really love? What do you really care about? That's where your heart is. Where is your hope? What are you hoping? When you get those times when you're down and you need to be cheered up, where do your thoughts go? What's the safety net that you kind of lean on in those to give you a sense of security about the future? That's where your heart is. What is it that governs your decision-making, that pushes your will to decide this way instead of that way? That whatever it is, whatever thing in your life pushes that, that's where your heart is. And the reason your heart is there is because that's where your treasure is. It's where you're accumulating treasure. Your treasure is simply that which is valuable to you in your life. It's just what's really precious and valuable. And for that reason, treasure always has a gravitational pull on your heart. Your inner man, your interests, your affections, your desires, your decisions that you make, everything inclines in the direction toward your treasure. You take your entire nest egg and put it into a particular stock, and suddenly you're very interested in that stock and how it's doing, right? Before, you didn't care about it. Your heart is in that stock now because your treasure is in that stock. You pour all your time into following some sport, that sport will have a tug on your heart. You spend yourself in some ministry, some particular ministry here at the church, then you're going to be very interested in how that ministry goes. You decide to give up your family vacation so that you can meet some need on the mission field, and suddenly now you're very concerned about the fruitfulness of that particular missionary in that endeavor, right? Your heart's in it now because your treasure's there. You spend $30,000 on a vehicle, that vehicle becomes a huge part of your cares, your thoughts, your emotions, how you feel, your decision-making. Your heart inevitably moves in the direction of your treasures. So, you want to know for sure where your heart is? Just look at your checkbook. Just look, compare how much of your resources is going towards eternal things and how much is going towards earthly things, and it'll be obvious where your treasure is. Compare your budget for, you know, gym membership to your budget for Bible study resources that you buy, and you can see where your priorities are. You compare the size of your vacation budget with the size of your missions budget. You compare the, you know, recreation expenditures with what you put in the offering, and you can see where your heart is. So what does it look like when somebody, now that we understand that principle, what does it look like when somebody disobeys this command? What does that look like? What does it look like when you store up treasure on earth? It's when you invest your time and energy and resources and thought and work and effort in such a way that it results in your heart being wrapped up in something that will not exist in a million years. It won't exist a million years from now. You got that? Storing up treasure on earth means investing your resources in such a way that your heart ends up being wrapped up in something that will not be here a million years from now. And that can include a lot more than just physical stuff, right? There's a lot of earthly treasure that isn't physical. The scribes and Pharisees, I mean, they liked money, but that wasn't their main thing. They're building up treasure on earth, but for them, their biggest earthly treasure wasn't so much stuff as it was honor, right? That's what they were going after. They prayed and they gave to the poor and they fasted and they did all that stuff in order, always in ways calculated to impress people, impress the greatest number of people. Human applause is a huge treasure in the hearts of many Christians, especially pastors. This is a real problem with pastors. You're a pastor? This is such a temptation because it seems like your livelihood is dependent on your popularity. From a human standpoint, it really is. You know, if you don't keep coming back, I'm out of a job. And so you think about that when you're a pastor. And you can get to the point where your heart just becomes wrapped up in people's approval. And for many pastors, that's where their treasure is, and so that's where their heart is, and so all their decision-making ends up being driven by that, and what they preach, and all that. And they just crave honor. Yeah, it just blows my mind when I hear about some pastor who decides that he needs to be credited every time somebody uses his material. You know, I got in a conversation this week with somebody about copyright laws, and not very many things get me angry, but one thing that just makes my blood boil is a pastor who wants to enforce copyright laws on his sermons. So, you know, you can't use my material unless you mention my name and give me all the credit and all the honor and all the glory that I'm due for my stuff. And if they don't get that credit and that honor and recognition, they would just assume the saints go without whatever spiritual benefit they're going to get from that sermon, just not even get it if I can't get my glory out of it. Unbelievable. It's like they've completely forgotten about heaven, and they're just consumed with their own glory. And you're thinking, what are you yelling at us for? We're not pastors. We're not doing. I know. I just gets me riled up. Anyway, whether you're a pastor seeking honor for yourself or just a regular, ordinary approval junkie that's preoccupied with thinking about what does everybody think of me and do they like me and all that, human applause and human honor is a treasure for a lot of people. It really an earthly treasure for a lot of people. And if you struggle with that, I would really urge you, go back and listen through those. I think we did 4 messages on that. We titled it The Fear of Man when we were going through 1 Samuel, remember? If you haven't heard those, go back and listen through those if you struggle with that, because it's a real problem. The glory of being recognized and appreciated and honored by people is a treasure on earth just as much as cash or cars or cabins or whatever. For some people, it's really subtle. Their craving for honor is really subtle because the honor and approval that they're chasing isn't other people's. It's their own. They fast and they pray and they give and they do all this religious stuff and they'll do it in private so nobody else knows about it because they're not trying to impress other people, but it's not directed to God either. They're doing it to impress themselves. It's not worship towards God. They do it because they want to feel better about themselves. They want to feel good about how disciplined they are and how holy they are and how selfless they are. Earthly, the point of all this, earthly treasure takes a lot of different forms. It's not just money. It's anything that will be gone in 1 million years.
If you're interested in the messages on fear of man, I have a link to that series in today's show notes. There's nothing wrong with desiring approval from the people you love. That's part of what love means. You care about their opinion. If it didn't matter to you how they felt about you, then you wouldn't love them. So how do you know when your desire for their approval has gone too far? Here's one test. Ask yourself how you feel in times when you know God approves of you, but the people you consider important disapprove of you. Which one has the greater impact on your emotions, God's approval or their disapproval? Or if you're like me, it's that last kind of people-pleasing that really gets you, the striving to impress not others, but yourself. I can get so if I don't live up to whatever standards I've set up for myself, then I get down on myself because I'm more caught up with feeling good about myself than I am with what God thinks. Why not take a little time right now and think through what parts of your life have God's approval? And then talk to Him about that. Thank Him for the sacrifice of His Son that makes it possible for God to take pleasure in your imperfect righteousness.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.